I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mike Clemens from NFL Serious Radio joining us live from Lambeau Field. Michael, how you been, buddy?
Pretty good. I was thinking about when the Packers built the new atrium 15 years ago. And then, you know, draft parties were really seemed to be in vogue. I think that's also when it was, you know, on a Saturday and a Sunday, not Thursday stuff.
Right.
And so, and you would be up there hosting on the stage, and you remember the turning point was when Ted Thomas was 16th pick overall, and he takes Justin Harrell.
Right.
And they brought Ted down to the stage, and weren't you ever seeing, and you got 5,000 Packer fans there in the brand new atrium booing the general manager for his pick.
Yeah, I remember that. They booed him when he came on the stage, and then by the time he left the stage, they were applauding him.
They were?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think their boos.
I think they would boo him again.
Yeah, yeah. As it turned out, they were correct. You know, and Justin Harrell was a nice kid who was injured his senior year at Tennessee, but he had a great junior year tape. And Ted was desperate to help get some help on the defensive line, but man, did that not work out? You know, I mean, that was a bust, and you're going to make mistakes like that. And it made me think about the draft atmosphere. You know, Dave Schrader is a guy from Channel 2 in Green Bay who you have on the show from time to time. Dave is in Nashville right now doing live shots because his channel is going to, you know, carry the draft live up here in Green Bay. And Nashville looks great. There's so many things to do there with the music, the backdrop, kind of a party district. Now, Lambeau Field's great to come on game day and all the tailgating. And Mark Murphy says, well, you know, we're never going to get a Super Bowl at Green Bay for the limitations in hotels and various things. But we could maybe get the draft. I don't know. The way Roger Goodell's moving the draft around the league, there's a half dozen other cities I can think of that were still probably in New Orleans, maybe when Vegas and the Raiders get up and going. I don't know. It's gray and cloudy and crummy out here today. Unless they did it inside the atrium, or maybe they're tearing down the Brown County Arena. If they did it inside this new arena they're building across the street on Lambeau Field, I don't know if you're going to convince the NFL that Green Bay is a good place to have a huge draft party.
I can't imagine it. I can see it in Vegas. Some of the other areas, like down in Florida, and yeah, they want the warmer weather. Don't get me wrong, but you wouldn't want to award it to a city that can host a Super Bowl. Award it to those that don't. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So, you know, they took it to Chicago. They take it to Minneapolis. Take it to, you know, we know New York has had it for years and years and years, and everybody's been there. They don't need to take it to New England. You know, I mean, not that New England deserves many things, but yeah, go ahead. I mean, they're never going to host a Super Bowl. Take it to the areas that can't host a Super Bowl. Take it to San Francisco. You know, they host a Super Bowl, but they don't have the best weather all the time. I mean, but take it to Seattle. I wouldn't want to Seattle get it, but you know, it would be one of those things. But that, to me, Mike, is where I would take it. I don't think I would give it. New Orleans throws a hell of a party, and they host the Super Bowl better than almost anybody. I'd take it there only for a Super Bowl and not necessarily for somebody. Green Bay may get it because they may squeeze it in. I just can't imagine it being as big a display as they can put on in some of these other cities.
And that.
Let's do this. Let's put Mike on hold. Mike, I don't know where Mike's at, but he's got a terrible, terrible signal. It's been breaking up the entire time. So let's do this. Let's put Mike back on hold and see if we can't get a new connection or to have him dial in, because I want to get his stuff. 855-830-8648. Let's do this. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. I was telling you about this a little while ago, that Wednesday Night Live is back again this year. And coming up, as a matter of fact, the end of May, May 29th, that's the last Wednesday in May, Rebel Grace takes the stage in the Budweiser Pavilion at the Wisconsin State Fair Park. And that's when Wednesday night gets underway officially for real this year. And I cannot wait. It's all brought to you by Bud Light. It is music. It's free and open to the public. Cars, I think you park for like $6. Motorcycles, absolutely free. But it's a great time. If you haven't ever been there, put it on your schedule every Wednesday night. Wednesday night, the 25th of May, that's or the 29th of May, I should say. That's when it gets underway. And after that, all the way through the end of August, we have Wednesday Night Live. And some of those nights differ a little bit because of Summerfest and because of the State Fair. But it's a great event, great time. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio joining us back on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So, Mike, we were talking about where you may host this. They may try to squeeze it into Green Bay. I can't imagine how they would do it. But that being said, you know, it's a special night for everybody in Green Bay and for Packers fans everywhere because they have not one but two picks, and you hope that you find two impactful players.
No, and you see a lot of Packer fans in Nashville, too, in the live shots that are down there at the bars and the music places and all that, you know, taking it in as well. So, and the Packers have got, you know, two picks tonight, so that makes it exciting for them. You mentioned Chicago earlier, and I had a chance to talk to a product from Chicago. The Packers picked up the free agency. On this question about Matt LaFleur, you know, he's brightened up the place. He's put more lights in. He's trying to make it a more lighter, brighter atmosphere. And now when you walk down that hallway from outside the auditorium in the tunnel to the locker room, they still got those great moments in Lambeau Field history posters up, like the 61 Packers, you know, beating the Giants or the Ice Bowl or Brett and Reggie games or even Al Harris and his pick against the Seahawks when Matt Hasselbeck at the coin toss in overtime said, you know, we'll take the ball and we're going to win or whatever. But when Davante Adams said, when you get back into the classrooms, there used to be pictures of Bart Starr or Ray Nitschke or Reggie White, and now there's posters of life-size posters of Aaron Rodgers in action or Davante Adams or even running back Aaron Jones. And, you know, that's just the way it is around the NFL. If you're in the Falcons, you see giant posters of Julio Jones. You know that we walk to the press elevator at Soldier Field. Sure, they've got some pictures of Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus, but they also have a lot of photos of current players having great plays on the Bears right now. And that's something that LaFleur has changed. And I asked Adrian Amos, he's doing this sort of back-to-back now, where he's walking into the storied franchise that has had, you know, that has sort of the ghost of championship teams of the past. They're always sort of looking over your shoulder, and I asked Adrian about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's high expectations. I mean, if we talk about Chicago, and I went to Chicago, it was always about, all right, what the 85 Bears done and what everybody done. But you always want to make your own history. You want to be, you know, you want people to be talking about you later on. I don't want to live in what they've done in the past. You know, even, you know, I don't want to play like, all right, Aaron's a good player and he's done great in the past. I don't want to be like, yeah, they was good back then, but you know, now I want to be a part of, you know, making history.
And I also talked to Amos about, do you feel like you're coming in now as sort of the captain of the secondary? I mean, are you going to be kind of calling out the signals? And he put the brakes on that to say, well, you know, Tremont Williams is back there too. And he said, that's something that I have to earn from this team. You know, once we get into training camp and into the preseason games or into the regular season, you know, if guys are going to come to me and look to me to be that leader, that's something that I have to earn, not just something that I'm going to be assigned.
Hey, Mike, also when you talk about the secondary of this team, I don't think they can get too many guys for the secondary because there's some questions about whether or not Kevin King, his health is going to hold out for all of this kind of stuff. I know defensively speaking, they want to get better. They're looking for impactful players. But to me, I don't think you can ever have too many guys in your secondary.
No, and that's been a problem with this team. And they've also devoted an awful lot of high draft picks to that position as well. I hope that there's some linebackers and pass rushers to even add to the guys that they got in free agency. I'd like to see them add, maybe even an offensive line. Jair Alexander had a nice pick on Aaron Rodgers in practice yesterday. And that kid is... He's unique, man. He's hip. He's really cool to talk to. He's kind of short and sweet in his answers. I'd love to see him on your Monday night show for a full hour.
Yeah,
you may have to ask him 40 questions instead of 20 during the hour. But I'm telling you, he's got such a charisma about him. You know, short to the point answers. He's cool. He's laid back. I mean, you want to hang with this guy within 5 minutes of talking to him. And he's more than just a football player. If this kid really breaks out in his second season, I mean, this would be the kind of player who is short and sweet and to the point, and, you know, like does music videos or dancing or something on the side. He's extremely talented, extremely charismatic, and he's got swagger. And he could be an extremely exciting player. And, boy, you talk about a first-round pick paying off. I'm very excited about Jair Alexander.
Yeah, I am too. Let's do this. We're going to take a quick break, come back. We got more of Mike Clemens. He is live at Lambeau Field. He's going to be a part of our coverage tonight as we cover the first round of the NFL draft beginning to end. Mike is also brought to you by Chili's, our Green and Gold updates. They bring you by Chili's 3 for $10 right now for a limited time featuring Chili's mouthwatering signature sirloin steak. That's a starter. Then you got an entree, a drink for just $10. Together, we Chili's. More of the Bill Michael Show up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
And we are glad you are here tonight. Our coverage begins at 6. It's the first round of the NFL Draft 2019. We're going to be at the Q Club of Wisconsin. Myself, Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger, going to be alongside. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, is going to be there and covering it up in Green Bay. The man that's on the line now, Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio, our Green and Gold insider here as well. And so, Mike, we were sitting there talking about some of the guys that may not come into this system and how things get done. It's interesting because everybody wants to compare Gutekunst to, say, out of the tree of Ted Thompson, and rightfully so, but Thompson came from, you know, the Ron Wolf tree. I mean, this dates back years, and philosophies change, I get it, but it's interesting just how teams react and how general managers react when they are on the clock.
Yeah, and Gutekunst said, you know, no question about it, I'm nervous and all that, because there's so much riding on it. And I wanted to get to that in just a second. I wanted to take you back into the locker room to a chance that I had to talk to Mike Daniels. Because, you know, one day you wake up and all of a sudden you're here now 7 or 8 years in Green Bay and suddenly you're the senior member of the team except for maybe Aaron Rodgers and Mason Crosby. And, you know, we're talking about this atmosphere change and attitude change and very young coaching staff. And Matt LaFleur, I mean, you know, you trust these guys. Now, he's got Mike Pettine, a guy, you know, far more experienced, oldest coach on the staff right now. And so I talked to Mike about that changing history thing we were talking about earlier, and also about the fact of, you know how to feel these practices under a new head coach and Jair Alexander coming up with a pick on Aaron Rodgers in yesterday's practice.
Everybody's excited to go to practice. That may or may not change when we start hitting. I don't see it changing. If anything, I see it people being even more excited because it's a challenge. You know, everybody's challenging each other. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, if you're a second-year guy and you pick off a soon-to-be Hall of Fame quarterback like Aaron, we're getting after him. We're letting him know. We're here all day. Keep throwing it to us, you know, and vice versa. You know, you get a young guy that blocks a veteran guy or catches a pass on a veteran defensive back. It's like, can't cover me. And we're bringing that kind of energy, and it's great competition. That's what you look for in practice.
Matt LaFleur said, you know, when you come to Green Bay, of course, you know about all the past championships.
Correct.
Lombardi,
yes.
Reggie and Brett, and the one in 2010. And that sort of kind of hangs in your face all the time. And he wants to make new history. I mean, is he taking this in the right direction in terms of attitude and atmosphere around here?
Yeah, and you always show respect to those that came before you, and we are. At the same time, we can't forget that Brett Favre, Reggie White, B.J. Raji, Clay Matthews, Charles Woodson, those guys aren't coming back to help us. Josh Sitton, you know, Scott Wells, those guys aren't coming back. Chad Clifton, Nick Barnett, they're not coming back. This is our time. This is our team. You know, in the NFL, it's different. College, you know, you're here for you're guaranteed 4 to 5 years. 3 if a guy leaves early. Knowing the history and everything, that's extremely important because you are carrying a legacy. We're in the NFL, unlike 20 years ago maybe. You know, free agency has changed everything. So as much as you come into a place and you want to really get ingrained in the culture and the history at the same time, you don't know how long you'll be somewhere. That's why it's better to focus on the now. In college, you can think about the guys that came before you, because when you stepped onto that campus, you're there. Unless you transfer, you are there. In the NFL, anything can happen. You know, so that's why I agree with Coach's approach on, like, hey, we're going to honor the guys that came before us, but really focus on us, because we're the ones out there playing, and those guys, as great as they were, they can't come back and help us.
So, which I completely agree. I mean, I said it yesterday. I know some people got upset about that, Mike, but I said it yesterday. Like, look, they're just trying to create a culture, you know, just trying to kind of focus on the here and the now and not have everything else hanging over their heads. And, hey, if whatever it takes to motivate them to win, I'm all for it. I don't have a problem with it.
Well, and so tonight you got the draft, and, you know, the future is here. Some people wonder if maybe this organization and the Packers did a better job when they had John Schneider and John Dorsey there with Ted Thompson, and Brian Gutekunst, you know, was one of the younger guys. And now those guys have all moved on, Elliot Wolf, and now it's Brian's organization. And so, you know, Brian was pretty upfront to say, look, I've built a solid team now of my own the last 2 years, and we're ready for trades and, you know, calls at the last minute to when we're in the heat of the battle and on the clock tonight in the draft.
You know, I think, you know, last year, you know, John Eric and John Wojciechowski, like those guys were absolutely ready for the roles that they were kind of coming into. We were a little top heavy before, so I don't think we were super stressed out last year. But with from a coverage standpoint, you know, this year I think we just right now we just were, as a staff, I really felt we were humming. You know, like we had some young guys that we brought in and are, you know, really kind of taking, you know, their profession to another level and understanding kind of what we want to do now moving forward. And we've certainly tweaked our process a little bit. And, you know, I think the guys that, you know, at the top there that are kind of directing those guys, they're very much aware of it and they're more comfortable in their roles as well. So I think it was just a smoother, you know, process. I think, you know, those guys were kind of, we were thinking on each other's level more so, and then having to go back and discuss it more and more. So.
I'm excited, Mike, because I want to see Gutekunst, you know, again, a year removed, even though Ted was kind of that special consultant last year. This is Gutekunst. You know, obviously they bring in a new head coach. They're trying to get that breath of fresh air. But, you know, it really is exciting because they have two of these first round draft choices and they need impactful players. This is to me, Mike, we say it every year, but I think this year probably rings true more than any, is that this year is a big draft for the Green Bay Packers.
And here's the question, though. How good was last year's roster? Do they need 10, 15 new players? Do they have so many positions to fill that they got to bring in as much competition as they can, even if it's moving? In other words, are you rebuilding or are you just a few players away? And you spent money on four free agents to help out immediate needs. Does that mean that he's going to hold those two picks at 12 and 30, or is he going to trade down? Because that was the Ron Wolf way. That was the Ted Thompson way. That's been John Schneider's way since he's been in Seattle. Mike Holmgren was on KJR in Seattle last night. He had some really interesting insight about what goes on in the war room on draft night and why it takes these teams so long to make that first pick in the first round.
It all depends on what other teams want to do. Like I said, if you're sitting there with whatever pick you have, and the reason that teams take the full 15 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever they're doing these days is that they're waiting for the phone to ring. Dallas, somebody else, wants a player, and they're afraid you know, they might lose him. They phone you and said, we'll give you this for that pick. And then if you're okay with the rest of the guys on the board, then you make the deal.
Which is some good insight. I mean, I agree. It's not always just what you want. It's what comes your way. And so, you know, again, I know things move pretty fast, and they pretty much have their board set up, and almost every scenario has been gone through. This is really, you know, when people talk about, well, the war room, all the arguing, screaming, and yelling's already taken place. Tonight, they're just sitting back and letting the board come to them.
And here's another thing, too, and this is a long discussion, but this is a great insight on what Ron Wolf, Ted Thompson, John Schneider in Seattle, and now what Brian Gutekunst is likely doing when you're in tonight in that first round. Now, here's a question. I told you the story that, according to Andrew Brandt, the former finance director, he was in the room in 2005 when the Packers got to the 24th pick. Ted Thompson only had one player's name left above the line that said first round, and that was Aaron Rodgers. So it's either you take this guy because you still think he's a first-round value, or you trade down and you don't take him because you've got Brett Favre as a quarterback. he took the quarterback because of the value, because he was the best player on the board because of the value. And so, interesting thing is, how can you be in a draft with 32 teams? You're drafting 24, and, you know, Seattle and Green Bay, they've done this. They've been in the 20s because they're playoff teams year after year. And it turns out that Ron Wolf and Ted Thompson, rarely do they have 32 players above the line in the first round. Listen to what Holmgren said last night in Seattle.
It's a question I asked my first year in Green Bay, because Green Bay, Ron Wolf ran the draft just a little differently than Bill Walsh did in San Francisco. And he had a certain system. So you have the board, and on the left side you have the rounds, first through whatever, however many rounds. And then you have a blue line going across to separate the drafts. And then when you're putting players up there, you plug them in by positions. The positions are on the top of the board, and you plug them in. This is a first-round tight end. This is a first-round defensive back. This is a first-round tackle, and so on. And, you know, there's 32 picks. And Ron never had more than 16 players up there. And we'd be drafting late, you know. Wait a second. This doesn't... What are we in the first round? He goes, there's enough players there. Trust me, there are enough players there. And I'll be darned, every year there are enough players there. You know, and so that's how he did it. And I think he probably was a little stricter on what he considered first-round talent than maybe some other teams. But that's how he did it. And it seemed to work. And it always kind of baffled me, because we don't have enough players up there. We got to get some more players. And he goes, no, this will work. You know, and so... he was comfortable with that, and obviously he was very, very good at it. You know, there were times too when this came up in our draft room, where and everyone's that they'll say, okay, we have the whole draft, picks 1 through 21, you take them, or 1 through 20, or 1 through 18, picks 22 through 40, you're kind of getting the same guy. Not the same position, but you're kind of getting the same value. If that's one of your philosophies and you see the draft that way, then you have a lot of wiggle room to trade back and get other picks. The other thing we always did, Ian, with that, we had really good success in drafting receivers in the third round. In Green Bay, we had Antonio Freeman, we had Robert Brooks. These guys could play. And part of it was our system. You know, we ran routes, and they had to be real disciplined that way. But you can maybe get, if it's a philosophy you have, you can get maybe a receiver a little bit later. And so that kind of played into it as well.
Interesting. To where he just thought, well, this is the guy that we can go out and get later on down the road. So
yeah, and I'll tell you, for this first round, Steve Keim, the GM of the Cardinals, is screwing up this whole thing. Because, you know, he won't announce who they're going to take. And you know what he's doing? According to Holmgren right there, he's taking phone calls.
Yeah.
Just who wants to get crazy stupid to take my number one overall pick? You know, will it be Mark Davis and John Gruden or somebody? Does somebody want to do something crazy to have my overall pick? And how much are they willing to give up? Because I still got a quarterback in Josh Rosen.
Right. Which they have botched that whole thing. I mean, just in...
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about that earlier today. They messed that whole scenario up. You got time
but
for...
Until they make a decision, man, that just... goose up the first six picks from what the Giants might want to do at quarterback, or trading up or trading down, whatever.
You got time for one more?
Sure.
Hang in there. We got Mike Clemens on hold. Stay tuned. We got more of the Bill Michaels Show. Final segment next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael's Show. We are on the air. Final segment before we get out of here. Don't forget, tonight we're going to be at the Q Club of Wisconsin. 6 o'clock is when the broadcast gets underway. I'll be there. Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back, is going to be there. Paul Emig is going to be there, our green and gold analyst in Green Bay. Mike Clemens joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Real quick, Montez Sweat, the player out of Mississippi that it was diagnosed with a heart ailment. Now the NFL is backtracking, saying that was a misdiagnosis.
On the day of the draft.
On the day of the draft, he is now being...
The kid has been dropping like a rock. But I tell you what, it's just an interview. We spent 20 minutes with the kid. I need a little bit more presence with the media and with the microphone if it's going to be my first-round pick, the next kid. He's a big kid. A lot of good things physically. There's too many other guys that I'm excited about in that top 15 group than Montez Sweat. And that was just my take from being around him, you know, for a couple of days at the combine, that's all.
So tonight, Mike, I'm looking forward to, you know, not one, but two picks. I'm hoping they don't trade backward. I understand the value philosophy that Mike Holmgren had expressed, at least with Ron Wolf. But I think there's a lot of Packers fans that are looking for two impact players to come to this team. Doesn't matter where they play, just two impact players to come to this team tonight, because I think everybody understands and realizes the direness of getting this thing back on track in a hurry sooner rather than later.
It's supposed to be, and this is what they said coming out of the season, the college season, the Senior Bowl, a defensive draft. And you've got some great linebackers in there. You've got, and then you've got some pretty good tight ends. Now, they're saying there's an awful lot of good tight ends between rounds 2 and 4. So that doesn't mean that you have to take one of those two kids out of Iowa, a tight end in the first round. There's another premier or rare player that you can get tonight in the first round. Paul Imig has made this point, you know, and I've heard somebody made this about a month ago, too, about last year everyone thought that Gutekunst was pretty clever in his first draft to trade down, still get back up, and he had Jair and one other player there still on his board, and he got his need at corner, Jair Alexander, when he bounced back up to, what was it, 18? But he missed on a guy like Derwin James, who should have been on the board, who just went out of his mind, you know, a strong safety for the Chargers. Went up being, you know, an outstanding rookie last year. And, man, that would have been a nice addition. I mean, he's clearly an outstanding NFL football player. So when you see that example, you say, hold on to 12 and take the best impact player off the board. And someone's going to do something crazy because they're desperate for a quarterback and trade up into the top 10 tonight. And that means some of these defensive players, quality defensive players, will move down. And you could probably have a great pick to help out Mike Pettine with 12 overall tonight.
They certainly need it. So, Mike, what's it like up there in Green Bay right now? Give us a quick minute lowdown.
Well, it's different because we got all these veterans here.
Mm-hmm.
We've never had this before. It's something, though, that Matt LaFleur has done because he was part of a new coaching staff with the Rams when they took over for Jeff Fisher 2 years ago. And last year with a new staff with the Titans. And he completely has blown up Mike McCarthy's offseason schedule, bringing in these guys last week for workouts. The entire team was here, the veterans. And I think that's an interesting attitude, too, is that these guys, you know, you got Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams and these veterans working while you know that these guys upstairs are drafting the future, your replacements, and while they're in the building, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're on the road or whatever. And those players, all those veterans were here until noon today and then released. They had 8 o'clock meetings, and then they were switching rooms. You know, defense was going to meet with the offensive coaches, et cetera. And now the coaches, the position coaches, get, you know, go home, take a nap. They all got to be back in the rooms tonight. Well, he's probably putting in a 20-hour day today, because he was there this morning, and then he'll be obviously there through the end of the first round tonight in his first year in Green Bay.
Mike, always good. We'll talk to you tonight, okay?
Thank you, pal. Talk to you on the big draft show tonight.
Appreciate it. There you go, Mike Clemens. He is brought to you by good friends at Chili's. They've got to that combo right now. All three, $10. You get it right there at Chili's. Time for us to get out of here. We will talk to you again in a few hours. Join us at the Q Club of Wisconsin out in Waukesha on Grandview Boulevard tonight for the NFL Draft. Until then, have a go and see you.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.